We are now going to listen to God's precious word as we can find it in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, beginning our reading at verse 31, reading on through 46. Luke 22, 31, 46. God's word to us this morning. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto them, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. And he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said, nothing. And then said he unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip, and he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors. For the things concerning me have an end. And they said, Lord, behold, there are two swords. And he said unto them, it's enough. And he came out and went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow, and said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Thus far God's precious word to us this morning. Dear congregation, maybe you know that Luther was often tempted. Luther was often tempted in such a way that one day it was so vivid that he had the idea that the devil was even right there with him in the room. Children, maybe you have heard that story, that Luther took this ink pot, this inkwell that was on his desk, and he took it and he threw it where the devil was. That shows how real the struggle with the devil was for Luther. Luther said about his own temptations, he said, my temptations have been my masters of divinity. Now, children, maybe you don't know what that means. Masters of divinity, it means that you have a theological education to learn about the things of God. That's what he said about his temptations. Luther said, they are my theological training. They teach me more about the power of God. They teach me more about my own sinfulness and my own weakness. The devil was real for Luther. Is he real for you this morning? Because temptations and the devil and our own weakness when they come together, we struggle, we fight, and we learn something that we cannot do it in our own strength. We learn something, how necessary it is to pray this prayer that we are going to think about this morning. We learn our need for prayer. Matthew 6 verse 13, where the Lord Jesus was teaching his disciples to pray, he teaches them to pray. And us, all of us this morning, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's what he taught us to pray. In those times when we feel our weakness, when we feel the temptations are raging. And our second text for this morning was spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke 22, verse 40b. Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And that text was spoken while the battle was raging. We've just read it together, isn't it? The battle for temptations was raging. Suffering was coming for the Lord Jesus. And then he speaks again to his disciples and says it again. And he underlines the necessity, the importance of prayer, that ye enter not into temptation. That's what we are going to think about this morning. And we do that together with the Heidelberg Catechism and question and answer 127. You can find that on page 87. And there we read about this petition that the Lord teaches us. Which is the sixth petition? And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That is, since we are so weak, there you have it, in ourselves, that we cannot stand a moment. And beside this, since our mortal enemies, there you have the devil, the world, and our flesh, cease not to assault us, what do we therefore pray? Do thou therefore preserve and strengthen us by the power of thy Holy Spirit, that we may not be overcome in this spiritual warfare, but constantly and strenuously may resist our foes, till at last we obtain a complete victory. So there we read about the temptations. So our theme for this morning is praying against temptations or temptation. And we first are going to look at our weakness. This point might be discouraging for some, but I hope it might be very helpful to see where our battles are, and so that we can, with more power, as we hope to consider that the second point, our strength, with more power, resist against those three enemies that we talked about, that the Catechism talks about Satan, about ourselves, and about the world. So first of all, then, our weakness. Our text says, pray that ye enter not into temptation. Well, I want to focus a little bit on that word temptation. And also, lead us not into temptation, the Lord Jesus Christ teaches us to pray. But deliver us from evil, or from the evil one. Because we are weak. We are weak in the face of the temptations that we face. What is a temptation? A temptation is a time in which we are tested, in which things are difficult, in which pressures are mounting, in which circumstances seem dark, and we find ourselves struggling. Temptation doesn't not necessarily mean that it's always sinful. The problem is when we respond sinfully. And that's why we pray here, lead us not into temptation. A temptation is simply a time of testing. A time when you and I struggle. And then, what is our response? Can be a prayerful response, lead us not into temptation. Or it can be a response where we yield to temptation, where we go after our sin. Well, there are especially three things, as we said, as the Catechism also points out, there are especially three things that we need to consider, because there are three enemies. There is Satan, there is self, and there is our surrounding world. Let's look at those enemies. In our passage, Luke 22, verse 31, we read, first of all, this. The Lord Jesus is speaking here to Peter, and he is warning him against temptation. Luke 22, verse 31, there we read, 22. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desire to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Now, there's something that we need to notice that we cannot see here in this text, but it's true nevertheless. Satan wants to have you. The Lord Jesus is speaking to Simon very specifically. But then when we read it in the original language, Satan wants to have you, plural. The Lord Jesus is speaking, singling out Peter. He's speaking to Peter because we know that, children, don't we? He was going to deny the Lord Jesus Christ. But he's speaking to all his disciples at the same time. And he said, Satan wants to have you. All of you. He wants all the disciples. Satan wants all people to destroy them. Why? Satan hates image bearers of God. And Satan hates God. Because of that, because he knows sin is dishonoring to God, he tempts us so that we would be spared of who God is and of God's mercy and not come to him with our burden of guilt. And Satan tries to get at us, via us, at God. And so what we read here, Simon, Satan has desire to have you that he may sift you as wheat. What is the picture here? Well, sifting of wheat was like this. There was a big sieve. And a farmer started to winnow. He started to shake hard. And there was grain in there, and there was chaff in there. And he would throw it into the air, and then the wind would come and blow the chaff away. And he would catch again in the sieve the wheat. But now the Lord Jesus says, listen, Satan comes and wants to shake you up. Disciples, all of you. He wants to, this morning, to have believers, to shake them up, so that they would fall, so that they would feel crushed, so that they would feel destroyed and unable to go back to the Lord. That's what Satan wants, to destroy. He wants to have unbelievers, the chaff. He wants to shake them so hard that they would be blown away by all their troubles and trials. And that so they would stay away and blame God and say, God, what are you doing in my life? Stay away from Christ and the cross. That's what he wants. All of us. Are you at Satan's sieve this morning? Is he shaking at your life? With difficulties, trials. Maybe ask, what does it mean to be on Satan's sieve? Well, we need to understand a bit more about who Satan is and what his purposes are and what he really wants when he puts us on that sieve. Well, who's Satan, children? The Bible tells us that Satan is a murderer. He's a murderer. He's hissing lies to us in order that he could murder our soul.
He wants to have us. Not to do as well, but to do evil to us. Satan has desire to have you. Young people, you especially. Wants to have you. Later, Peter would write, after he had fallen and everything, he would say, "Be sober, be vigilant, be awake, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. So he's prowling, he's ready to jump at you whenever he can. How does a lion hunt? Well, goes to maybe a flock of deer or something, and they chase until one gets behind from the flock and is on its own, and they jump at him. Satan wants to jump at you when you are on your own. He attacks. He knows that you, when you are lonely, you are weak. He comes with his lies. That's the second thing about Satan. He's a liar. What does he tell you when he jumps at you? Well, he makes lies about God. He says God is a hard taskmaster. He's a slave driver. He's not interested in you. You're too sinful for him. God is far away from you. He's distant from you. God is only a God of justice. He's harsh. He's condemning. Yes, he needs to condemn us because of our sins. And he judges. He judges righteously. That's true. But that's only half the truth. A lie. Or he wants you to focus on forgiveness and think that there is forgiveness. Easy. No big deal when we sin. That's the other side. It's a big deal when we sin. These are temptations. These are lies that he comes with those lies he comes to you. He wants to have you. He comes with lies about salvation, not only about God, but about salvation. You know, you need to know your election first before you can come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to know that you're an elect child of God. He doesn't say to you, repent and believe the gospel, turn away from your sin, cry out to the Lord, go to him. Because he knows that when we come, and the Lord gives us grace through the Holy Spirit to come, that he's losing. Doesn't want you to come. When you are troubled and trying and thinking about who you are yourself and you feel your lack of faith, he says, yes, indeed, you lack faith. He comes and he says, well, faith is a gift for only a few. And he tries to have you believe those lies. Or when you try to pray and your thoughts wander, he will say, God won't hear you anyway. Why do you pray? And when you have fallen into sin, he tells you, you're too sinful, don't come to God. He won't receive you. When you feel guilty, he's going to focus on that guilt. You cannot come with your guilt like that. You need to be a bit better before you can come to the Lord. And so he is shaking. He is sifting. He's hating God and therefore distorting the message of the gospel. And that is why The Lord Jesus says in our text, pray that ye enter not into temptation. That shaking, sifting, distorting of the gospel. Satan is not only a murderer, a liar, but he is also an accuser. When you have some feelings of guilt, and we all have them, or you push them away, he wants you to focus on that guilt without showing you any hope, any way out. He's been doing that for years. And he loves that lie. And he comes to accuse you. And maybe you say, it is so difficult to know when is Satan accusing me. When is God speaking to me about the guilt of my sin? Because God speaks to us about our guilt of our sin too. The Holy Spirit points out our sins as well. Well, always remember, Satan wants you to accuse you to the point that you become hopeless and that you despair of God's grace and that you say, it's not for me, and that you don't see a way out and that you feel guilty and crushed under that weight, like Judas did. That's where Satan wants to have you. He wants to have you. He only shows you the bad news. Not the good news. Never. And he accuses you. And when you have a little bit of an honest conscience, you have to agree with him. And as soon as you start agreeing with him, and he doesn't show you the good news, it gets worse and worse and worse. But some of us, we all have this tendency, when Satan starts to accuse us, to either just brush it off or excuse our sins and just go on. But that's not the way to deal with our guilt. Satan wants us to be crushed by that guilt, and he continues to nag, and he comes with these vague things in our lives. And as soon as you start arguing with Satan about sins in your life, you've lost the battle, because he knows how to argue much better than you do. He comes with more guilt, and he points to the next sin, and to the next sin, and to the next sin. That's not the work of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit comes and points out a very clear sin in our lives. Where does it lead us? It leads us to repentance. Lord, I have sinned against thee. Forgive me. Deliver me. You come with confession, and you see there is deliverance through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what the work of the Holy Spirit is. Not that pounding on you, that nagging. Satan. Because Satan, that's the next thing, is a jailer. He's a jailer. He comes with his lies and accusations, and he wants to bind you. When you've sinned, he's coming to pound at you, bringing you in bondage. He puts you in the jail of sin and of guilt. Children, maybe you know that picture of Bunyan that Bunyan says in his Pilgrim's Progress. And when Christian and Hopeful, I believe it was, were in the doubting castle. What happened there? That's where Satan wants to have you. Bound in doubting castle in the darkest cellar. And keeping you there. What happened to them? They were doubting God's promises. And Satan was just keeping those promises away. Till at a certain moment, Christian took out the key. What was the key? What was the key out of doubting castle? It was the promise of God. Here I have the key out of doubting castle. The promises of God. The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. The forgiveness and the deliverance in Him. And he wants to keep that away, and he's doing a great job with unbelievers. But he also wants to keep that promise, those promises away, and that deliverance from the Lord Jesus Christ, from true Christians rather. Are you this morning in Satan's jail? Young people, are you maybe enslaved to a particular sin? And you are not able to break free. Sexual sin, perhaps. Well, the youth group topic talked about this week. Are you unable to break free? Then you're probably still believing the lies of Satan. You can only break free when you are believing the gospel. That's the only answer. You can only break free when you listen to the word of God as well here. When you're tempted to believe the devil's lie, pray that ye enter not into temptation. Then you can break free. We'll come back to that in our second point. What else does Satan love? What else does he tempt us to? He wants to tempt us to divide us, to keep us far away from other people that might help us in our bondage, in our slavery. He divides. We see that happening in this chapter as well. If you read on in the chapter, the disciples were being scattered. They were scattered when Jesus was bound. And so he wants to scatter the disciples. He wants to scatter relationships. He wants to have people go for themselves. That's why we see so many divorces. He wants to divide in churches. The church splits. Only say he wants to scatter. How does that start? It starts in the minds of Christians. When they start to begin to judge one another and have this pride of feeling better and focus on those things that are not essential. When Satan is, as it were, children, using a magnifying glass. He wants us to focus on all others, and he uses a glass that really makes our sins small. And so he wants to divide and devour, so that we forget about the power of the gospel, so that we forget about the power of prayer and pray for one another, so that we forget or don't come with honest conversations with one to another. That's how he wants to shake us, with his accusations in our minds, dividing us from one another, overwhelming us. Do you see it? With his temptations? You and I, we are so weak. We are so soon to believe those lies. That's why Christ says to us this morning, pray that you enter not into temptation. Pray that you will not yield to those lies and not yield to those sins. Because that's what he desires. That's what he desires when you are on his sieve. That's when he desires, when Satan is successful, that we will tumble into sin. When is he successful? Well, we can see that in this chapter 2, verse 33. Verse 33, he was very successful with Peter, wasn't he? And he said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. So the Lord Jesus has just said to Peter, Simon, Simon, be on guard. Pray that you don't enter into temptation. And Peter says, I'm ready. I can handle it. I will go both into prison and death. The Lord Jesus says, Simon, Simon, with emphasis, behold, pay attention. Don't be self-confident. But Peter was. Won't happen. Peter thought, I'm rather a devoted disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Prison, no problem. Death, I'm not afraid. He was trusting in his own power. And that is where Satan wants to have us, trusting in our own power and not in the power of the gospel. Peter wanted recognition for his devotion to the Lord. His word said, I'm so devoted. Dear congregation, have you and I, have we met Peter in our own hearts? Have you met him? This emphasis on, I can do it. I'm strong. I don't want to be weak. I want to do things. Do things in the for God. Yes, for God. But do we do them in the power of God? Pray that ye enter not into temptation. Peter thought much about his own self-sacrifice. He thought it would be pleasing to God. But the Lord Jesus knew his heart. He knows my heart. He knows your heart this morning. And he comes with this warning. Simon, Simon. You cannot be successful for God when you rest on your own power and on your own strength and on your own works righteousness this morning. And what is so striking is that this lie of the devil and our own sinful heart is we are so often unaware of it. Really. We don't even realize it. That's what was with Peter as well. He said, I'm ready. I can do it. That's how deceitful this lie is. It's tricky. And therefore we need this warning of the Lord Jesus this morning. Pray that ye enter not into temptation. Because when we are self-confident, which is our natural tendency after the fall, we still want to go back to the covenant of works. We won't pray. We don't pray. At this moment, the Lord Jesus Christ warns Peter in his text and us, all of us, pray that ye enter not into temptation. It's this moment when he was going to suffer and die. And in just moments, we have read it together, the Lord Jesus himself would start to pray and he would be like a worm and no man. He would crawl over the ground. He would be very sorrowful and very heavy because there was this huge cross and this huge suffering looming over him. He warns us how weak we really are. He himself was going to pray for his people, whilst the blood even streamed from his face. It shows that the temptations and hell and Satan is real. Otherwise, that blood would not stream from his face. He was sorrowful and very heavy. Pray that you enter not into temptation. But his disciples saw no danger. They were probably tired, and our text says as well that they were sorrowful. They had not listened to this warning, and they were not praying. They were sleeping instead, children. They were sleeping. You see, self-confidence leads to prayerlessness, leads us close into temptation. And on top of that, there was something that Peter didn't understand very well. Christ was going to suffer for him in his place. And the cross was because of him. But Peter, as we can read in the Gospels, he saw that as a hindrance. Suffering is a hindrance to that goal. I want a glorious Savior here and now. Peter
didn't know the deceitfulness of sin. And therefore he didn't see his need yet. He couldn't either. Very well. Until the cross. No need for Christ. He thought, I can do it myself. And so you and I need to pray. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. From the evil of our own heart and self-confidence. From the evil of prayerlessness. Because if we have self-confidence, plus prayerfulness, plus the world, some pressure from the world, that's the combination to fall. That's what we see with Peter. The world. Well, Peter was still very self-confident and the Lord Jesus was going to be captured. Children, we can read about that in this chapter as well. And the first thing that the disciples did was fling the sword. And you know what happened, right? Malchus, his ear was cut off. Seemed very powerful. But after that, soldiers, man, trained, powerful, intimidating. What does Peter do? He runs away. Pray that ye enter not into temptation. When we see man suddenly as big and powerful, then suddenly in our minds, God becomes small and powerless. Afraid. Do you know that in your own heart, the fear of man? I do. Pray that you enter not into temptation. Peter goes on. He's run away, but he wants to still, there's still some love for the Lord Jesus Christ in his heart. And he goes to the hall of Caiaphas. We know it, right? They're those servant girls. Do you belong to Jesus? And there his confidence crumbles. Peter, didn't you say you were ready to go to prison and death? Now suddenly all forgotten about his own self-confidence. Self-confidence, prayerlessness, some pressure of the world, and Peter's confidence crumbles and he denies his Lord. That's what can happen in our world too, in our lives too, isn't it? We come to church on Sunday, we boast in God. We trust in him, and then during the week, it seems all so distant, so difficult. And the Savior seems so powerless at moments when you need him. The Savior seems so powerless. If we continue the history, when the Savior was put on trial there, and Peter saw it, he was put on trial with lies and accusations, and the temptations come. Isn't it? Is this really my Savior? Should I really confess him? This world wants to get rid of this sinless Savior. Doesn't need this sinless Savior. Does it in various ways and comes with it with violence and with force. This world doesn't want Jesus Christ. This world puts Jesus Christ on trial. But there are temptations also in our heart in which we cry out, we don't need this Savior. Crucify him. Crucify him. What are they? The temptation of materialism. My life, I'm going to live without God. But with possessions. You put Jesus on trial. You call, crucify him, because you love possessions more than God. This world comes to us and say, enjoy this world without God. Enjoy your pleasures.
Hedonism, we call it. This world is pressuring upon us and saying, crucify the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't confess him. And we are standing with those crowds, with the world around us. And we feel the pressure. Another way the pressure is felt, evolutionism, cries out, we don't need the Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ has created the whole world, they want something different. They want something different. This world came into being without Jesus Christ. Or the pressure of this, you have your truth, I have my truth. Temptations. Giving in to it. Or, really, do you believe that? The old-fashioned Bible? The gospel about Jesus Christ? Temptations. You can make your own future. You can be your own God. Look at man's ability these days. They go to the moon and everything. And we figured it out. Mankind is almighty. God is powerless. Temptations. Lies, lies, lies. This whole world is full of lies. How can you and I discern without prayer? Without this prayer that the Lord Jesus has given us. Lead us not into temptation. Do you see how weak we really are? That's the first part of the Heidelberg Catechism says it, isn't it? And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Since we are so weak in ourselves that we cannot stand a moment. And besides this, since our mortal enemies, the devil, the world, and our own flesh, cease not to assault us. We are all weak in the face of these temptations. Not all struggle with the same temptations. Do you see how we need this prayer? Lead me not into temptation. We are hopeless in ourselves. And we hear God's word in James that says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised him to them that love him. And Peter later would say, resist the devil and he will flee. How? If you feel so utterly helpless, so weak, pray that you enter not into temptation. We are going to look at that, our strength. And we are singing about that strength too. Pray that ye enter not into temptation. Well, when the Lord Jesus said in verse 31, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Satan desires. But notice something. For God's children, Satan needs permission to have them. Who rules? The Lord does. Think about the example of Job for a moment. Satan came to the Lord to ask permission to plunge Job into suffering. Without that permission, Satan is powerless. You see, God's people are protected. Believers are in the hand of their heavenly Father. He has the final say. He controls our temptations. And therefore we can pray, lead us not into temptation. And he can hear us and deliver us from evil. If Satan desires, he needs permission. That's our strength. But unbeliever, I need to speak to you for a moment because you are still in the claws of Satan. Unprotected, Satan is ready to devour you and you need Christ's protection desperately this morning. You are unable to discern clearly the intentions of this murderer, of this liar, of this accuser. He wants to keep you in bondage. He wants you to have divisions within your relationships. He wants you to be self-confident. And your own heart loves these things too. And you're deceived. You love this world and what it has to offer. The pleasures of this world. A world without truth. But I come in the name of the Lord this morning to say to you that there is power against temptation with the Lord. And with the Lord only, He can save you. Because Christ, let's think about it for a moment, He is the life giver. Well, Satan is the murderer. He is the truth, while Satan hurls his lies at us. He is the one who justifies us. We are justified through faith in Jesus Christ. While Satan accuses us. He makes us stand righteously before God. Jesus Christ does. He liberates us. He throws open the jail. The prison. Satan wants to keep you there. He unites you to God and to one another. That's the work of Jesus Christ. There is power with Jesus Christ. So come this morning. If you are in bondage, confess your sin. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He can truly deliver you. And He can give His Holy Spirit so that you discern between those temptations and those lies. Actually, those temptations then become indeed a training ground. Luther said, "My master of divinities." And you are going to see clearly what they are. When you hear that nagging voice, you say, "Satan, get behind me." When he wants to focus on your guilt, you say, "Get behind me, Satan." And you cry to the Lord, "Lead me not into temptation." And then you look to the Lord Jesus Christ and you hear the freeing voice of the Holy Spirit focusing on full forgiveness for the greatest of sinners. Focus on repentance in the Lord Jesus Christ bringing you close to Him. For the first time, or perhaps again and again and again, and you cry out, "Deliver me from evil." And He has promised to do so for all those who cry out. He is your only protection. It's found in Christ's suffering, and it's found in Jesus Christ's prayers for you. That's your hope when you are weak, when you are erring. When you've fallen into sin, your hope is not in your prayers even. It's in Christ's prayers. Because verse 32 says, "But I have prayed for thee." That's what He says to His disciple Peter. "That thy faith fail not." When we are on the sieve, know that Christ prays. When you are being shaken, when everything shakes around you, when you have fallen into sin, when your weakness is exposed, remember then, when you look away to the Lord Jesus Christ, He will save you. And child of God, for you He needs permission. He needs to ask the Lord. So can the Lord then not also lead you out of temptation? Yes, He can. And Christ is praying for you. When you don't know how to pray, Christ is praying for you. When Satan is accusing you, send him to Christ and say, "There it is finished." Look to the cross and pray. The Father always hears him because he is sinless. He didn't yield to temptation and he is sympathetic. And he prays for you in Gethsemane as a worm crawling over the ground at Golgotha. "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do." In glory, he's praying for you, interceding for you. At times that you and I would run away. The Savior was praying, unwavering. And he earned it to be heard, even when he was there on the floor of Gethsemane.
Listen to him. Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. What a prayer. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. In the thick of spiritual battle, he with submission, no self-confidence, depended on the will of the Father. Easy? No, absolutely not. He needed to be strengthened by an angel. It was agony. Look at the blood that comes and streams from his face. Agonizing prayers. That's the Savior you and I need. For who? For drowsy, prayerless, self-confident disciples. For you and me who shy away from the cup of suffering. Are you tested this morning? Look to your Savior. In Gethsemane and all the places, he earns the deliverance. He earns a way out for people in bondage. That can empower your prayer. That can motivate you, because he prays, you will pray. And you will receive power to fight your sins and battle them. He commands you this morning to come and pray. Christ's prayer gives you your prayer's power. That way, not the other way around. Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And we see that it was still, for Peter, it was still possible to fall, even in those moments. But here is the truth that is so precious. When we are in Christ, we are kept and we will be restored. Why? I have prayed for you. I have prayed for you. In all these things, even when we fall, we learn to distrust ourselves. We dread sinning. It's painful. We desire to be kept. And we learn to fight this battle, this spiritual battle, on our knees, listening and looking to the Lord Jesus Christ, to his finished work. Let's not put our trust in our prayers. Let's pray harder, or let's pray more. Prayer is not a work. Prayer is resting in what Christ has done. His prayers, his suffering on our behalf. This work is finished. That is our hope. We need to be awakened to prayer, isn't it? Just like these disciples, the Lord Jesus comes to them and say, "Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation." We need to be awakened to prayer. Are you prayerless this morning? Then listen to Christ's rebuke then to you. Because through prayerlessness we are open to all sorts of temptation. Are you spiritually drowsy perhaps? Are you losing your battles? Look to Christ's work this morning, to his prayer, to his submission. Find hope and forgiveness there and nowhere else. Through faith, there is power for the weak. He makes them strong. When you kneel down on your knees and you trust in the work of Jesus Christ, you are made strong. Young people, this world is full of temptations. With all your digital devices, sometimes they are Satan's devices. We can use them for good. Yes, I know. You need this power of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. You can have excellent answers, excellent apologetic courses in this world, but without prayer they are useless. You can have excellent filters. You can have excellent youth group topics about fighting pornography. But without prayer, it's useless. You need believing prayer. Pray that you enter not into temptation. Christ, let's say it very clearly, is our only hope this morning. He is our way of escape, so that we are able to bear the temptations. He can save us to the uttermost.
That's what that second part of the Heidelberg Catechism is about. Do thou therefore preserve and strengthen us by the power of thy Holy Spirit, that we, through prayer, may not be overcome in this spiritual warfare, but constantly and strenuously may resist our foes, till at last we obtain a complete victory. Christ, your only hope this morning. Amen.